discussion on this.
Can a lost man find his way back home? Can a lost man find his way back home? How can you go home if you're not sure you've ever been? A lost man find his way back home. Can a rich man work to save his soul? Can a rich man can a blind man finally see the light? Well, if you were in the dark for your whole life, could you tell what the light looks like? Can a blind man finally see the light? Well, I'm on my way. I can't get there on my own. Heaven's gate. I was getting through the door. And as I wait for you to come and take me home, I'm a walking in the light with you to kingdom come. Can a dead man come back to life? Can a dead man come back to life? For this I know, I'm only alive because of a man they call Jesus Christ. I'm a dead man.
Hey, good evening, Pathway. It's Matt. Welcome to another Sunday night together. Unfortunately, it's still virtual, but hopefully we'll be back together together soon. You know, it's Christmas week, just a few days away, and sure is an odd time. I mean, it has been all year, but this past week, you know, unfortunately and discouragingly, we saw some of the most discouraging numbers, or even around the world, associated with the pandemic. And the most troubling thing is just the number of deaths that I saw on certain days associated with the pandemic. And at the same time, we saw images on TV of trucks leaving factories with cargo of vaccines being delivered across the U.S. and the world, for that matter. Images of people being vaccinated. So there's this tension between dealing with some of the worst days of this pandemic, and at the same time, a bit of a tension between what feels like some sort of finish line forming in the distant. I don't know how long this will take or when things truly start to feel better. But that tension between those two things. And then this week is Christmas. And there's another kind of tension, I think, that we think about and remind ourselves each year. You know, this, for a lot of us, especially as Christians, is a time of celebration, of happiness, of joy, the birth of Jesus Christ. It's God putting in living form his son to be best friends with us, to have a relationship with us, to usher in this period of love. At least that's the way I think about those things. But as we all understand in each other, who experience hurts and habits and hang-ups, this is a time of year that can remind us of those things, and those challenges can trigger some of those things, unfortunately. So there's another kind of tension going on at this time of year. But what I do know is that in this celebration this week of Christmas and what that means, and being able to be real and share in that tension and either some of the struggles or some of the joy with a family and what Pathway stands for, and as a Pathway community, is something that I take a lot of gratitude for, of thankfulness for, that this has been a part of my life for many years. And so my prayer tonight for all of us is that we can all understand that we're not alone, and not feel that a challenge of loneliness, that this is a time where we can be thankful, and hopefully you're connecting to family, friends, someone to talk to. And I know that we're getting a lot of direction to stay at home, to not do big family gatherings or other gatherings. And we all want to be safe, but there's a lot of ways we can continue to reach out to people and connect with each other that I hope that if you're struggling, you're taking advantage of. And those that are just not in a good place with God right now, just know that it's okay. If you're in a great place with God and your current situation, that's great too. It is okay to not be okay, and it's okay to be okay. I hope that everybody has had a great week. I hope that you can have a reasonably happy week this week. I'm glad we're all here together to enjoy some music and some message together. And I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. And I know that we'll see each other soon. I look forward to that day.
Desky Trucks song that we do at Pathway that sounds way better when the whole band is playing. Right now, this is all I got. So anyway, bear with me. Let's have some fun.
Tell a story. Roll the truth around your head. About the glory. I ain't getting out of this bed. The sun comes struggling on. Yesterday's dead and gone. your story. Put the night back in your veins. Bound for glory. I ain't coming to again. The sun comes struggling on. Yesterday's dead and gone. And I feel I'm bound for glory. Dreaming in a cowboy song. And I feel I'm bound for glory. Oh, glory. Can you feel it? Bound for glory. Can you feel it? Glory bound. Can you feel it? Bound for glory.
I'm not gonna play the whole song because I messed it up.
Joel, you ready?
Hey,
I always mess up the intro on this one.
Quick, funk it up all you want, dude. And all that stuff you want to stick in.
Let's funk with an N. What?
That sounds pretty good.
That's because you're too worried about the...
No. For you,
hey, James,
elbows in.
Play some of that off.
This is you. Hey, something just happened to the fidget. Hold, please.
Funk with an N. Yeah.
Hold on a minute. You got it, Chad?
Okay.
Okay,
I don't have $300 for that.
What are you playing for the intro? For
my whole verse.
We haven't done this in so long. your song in praise. Won't you come along with us and worship him tonight? Celebrate. God is with us. Can you feel him smiling? He hears a song. His angels join again.
Pathway. This is Wendell. Merry Christmas. Next time I see you, it will be after Christmas. So, hope you have a good one. I know a lot of us have to amend the way we're doing Christmas this time, and some of us virtually have to cancel everything we normally do, but we'll make it through this, and we'll be okay. Just to give you an update, we have a word from the bishop that comes through Broadway, that comes through down to Pathway, that we will not resume in-person gatherings until Warren County is out of the red zone. So let's hope and pray and encourage each other to be careful. I'm glad the vaccine's here. We're going to line up and get that. That's going to help. And if we practice wise, considerate behavior by wearing masks and practicing distance, we can maybe get out of the red zone and be back in person. It's going to take a collective effort and just a mutual attitude of, I'm doing this for the group, not because I feel comfortable with it. So it's a good lesson on cooperation and community. And we as Americans are not, that's not our strong suit. We're rebels, we're independent, and we'll do it our way. How's that working? It's not right now. Okay, so we're in an Advent series, and so today we're going to wind that up with the fourth in the series about the Christmas story and maybe some of the things we can learn from it. And so the title of this session today is What a Place to Land. When God showed up as a baby on this planet, when he found a place to land, he picked Palestine, which at that time was probably one of the least advantageous places you could pick. Israel was under the thumb of Roman rule. Rome literally had them in a chokehold. There was a local king named Herod who had a thirst for the blood of infants, had a bunch of babies killed, and Jesus was a baby. You had a group of Pharisees who dictated the spiritual climate for the whole area. What am I supposed to believe? How am I supposed to relate to God? Well, I can't follow my heart. I have to do what they tell me to do. Just what a place to land. God obviously did not check with his travel agency before he set up the first Christmas. But it's almost like God has a track record of this in the big story of Scripture. You never see him flinch. It's almost like he prefers to have the odds stacked against him. And I always kind of wondered about that. Look at the Old Testament and the various war stories and the various famine stories and things like that. It's like God liked the odds stacked against him. And I don't think it was because he wanted to show off or try to impress people. I think it was just God being solid. you bump up against him and he's like a rock. And a good parent does that when their children are really small, is they're firm and they're solid. So that child is secure and they know if mom and dad will be firm with me, they'll be firm with the monster who tries to get me or the bully who tries to hurt me. And so God, for his people, God was firm and he was solid. And he did it against all odds. So when you come to Christmas, you expect him in a way, even though I tongue-in-cheek, you know, what was he thinking? You expect him to come into a situation that is dangerous, precarious, not to his advantage at all. The cards are stacked against him. So we see God at Christmas being very small, very vulnerable, but being very sure of himself and very confident. And so, you know, we say God is love. John said that in his first epistle, God is love. It's interesting when you look at Scripture, when you watch him, his love goes all the way from a cuddly little infant in a manger to the insurmountable force of the cosmos. He thunders from the mountain, and then he says, come here and let me give you a hug. He commands our respect in the Old Testament and then invites our partnership in the New Testament. This is our God. And God may fit in a manger, but that doesn't give us license or reason to try to fit him in a box, because we can't. And in fact, if you check the Gospels and you watch Jesus, toward the end of the Gospel of Matthew, there on the temple step, Jesus spoke seven times strong woes against those who tried to put his father in a box. The Pharisees, the religious know-it-alls, to their own advantage, tried to speak for God and tried to say they understood all about God, and this is what God expects of you, and this is how you should feel about God, and they did it to their own advantage. There are several times in the New Testament where Jesus got really angry. One is when he turned the tables over in the temple, and then the other is when he, should I say, yelled? He raised his voice and spoke woes against the scribes and Pharisees, called them hypocrites seven times, and said, woe unto you. And the bottom line, if you boil it all down, was woe unto you for lying about my dad, trying to put him in a box that you could control, and then you could use him to control other people. I don't want to get too picky with this, but, you know, much like the Pharisees, are there those today who will grocery shop in the Bible, the Old and the New Testament now, they'll grocery shop in the Bible and they'll find bits and pieces that support their preconceptions. And then when they do, they'll climb up on their stump and say, thus saith the Lord, I can speak for God here because I have rightly interpreted what the word says. And what they've done is just grocery shopped. The thing is they look at their following and they look at the profit that it provides, and that proves they're right in their mind. That's probably the same way the Pharisees felt. The truth about Christmas is that Christmas is God being whoever he wants and doing whatever he wants in the most unlikely place, in the most inconvenient ways, with the most insignificant people. And you know what? If God decided to do Christmas all over again, who's to say it would even resemble the first one? He's God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, with whoever he wants. This is God. Yeah, we hold him in our arms as a little baby, but don't let that, it'll play tricks on your mind. Oh, we can do with God what we want to do. We can rock him, we can feed him, we can pitch him up near, we can do No. God's willing to become that vulnerable. He entrusted himself to people that way. But we can't mistake that for weakness or this idea that we can somehow manipulate God or put him in a box or keep him in a handy place so we can use him to our advantage. Who knows what God's up to today? Where's he going to land next? I don't know. We really don't need to know. In spite of what modern-day prophets tell us as they pad their own pockets with their publications and their presentations, we're not privy. They try to tell you they know what God's going to do. We're not privy to God's agenda or his itinerary. We're just not. And for good reason. We don't need to be. He's God, we're not. We don't need to know what he's up to. So I think what we do know for sure about God and what we can be confident in is that God is as small or as big as he needs to be at any given moment in order to let us know how much he loves us and to let us know that he's here for us. Those two things, God loves us and God will never abandon us. And we've been through these months of pandemic and we're facing Christmas time, 2020, like no other Christmas we've ever had. And what do we need? We need a God who loves us and we need a God who is here with us. And this Christmas, that's enough. And we're going to do okay with that. This Advent season has been hard on all of us, I think. It has been on me. But it has driven me deeper into these two convictions. And we say them so much that after a while they almost sound trite. They are not trite. God loves us. He loves us collectively. He loves us individually. He loves us vehemently. He loves us with adoration. He loves us with deep affection and fondness. He loves us with 100% attention on where we're at and how we're doing. And God is always here with us. No matter what I go through, no matter what mood I'm in, no matter what my behavior is, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, my mood is, my speech is, my silence is, no matter where I go, God is with me. And it's not just that he's so big, he's everywhere. He chooses to be with me. He chooses out of the love of his heart to be with me. And he's the same way with you. And the desperation of this Christmas has driven me deeper into that than I've ever been. And it's enough. It's more than enough. So, again, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. And let's say the Serenity Prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy in the next life with you forever. I changed it a little bit. That's okay. Amen. Keep coming back. God loves you.